Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Brought to you by Baptist Health and by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now. Right now.
From the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, this is Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli. Phone lines open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Plenty to get to tonight. Gus Bradley says the offense is ahead of pace for this time of year compared to a year ago. That's good news. We'll hear from the head coach
with a new coordinator. I mean, isn't that crazy?
Yeah, new coordinator and a quarterback with new mechanics and everything. And a lot of new parts in the offensive line. We'll talk about some offensive line as well with Tony Baselli and questions about the linebackers beyond the top three starters. Who's after that? How are they playing? And, of course, we'll go around the National Football League as well. What's up, guys? How are we doing? What's going on?
Doing good.
I know you had every year you are the MC for the Children's Miracle Network event that the Jaguars are involved in.
Right.
And that was earlier this week, right?
It was Tuesday night, and it was held at the Crown Plaza. Which it's the Children's Miracle Network event. It's called the Medicine and Miracles event, Celebrity Waiter event. And it's a very unique event. It's really one of a kind. As far as I know, it's the first one that's ever been done in professional sports to where all of the star players and coaches become waiters for your table. They're wearing their black pants and white shirts and got the aprons on. And they're serving you at the table. And it's a fantastic night. It was a packed house, a record-setting event. And it was outstanding because, you know, every big-name player was there. You know, from Blake Bortles all the way to Alan Hearns to the offensive line was there. The new guys, the new free agents, Julius Thomas, Jeremy Parnell. The coaching staff was all there. Gus Bradley, Dave Caldwell. An outstanding event that raised a lot of money. And it was obviously the highlight is meeting the miracle child Celeste, who was there, and her parents spoke at the event, were absolutely ambassadors to what the Children's Miracle Network is all about, and I was honored to be able to be the MC once again, and had a fantastic time, and the players were simply fantastic. I'm serious. Alan Hearns, congratulations to him, because, you know, there's a contest going on all night, because your goal as a waiter is to collect tickets, and tickets cost money. You know, that's how they raise money. So if you want a fork to eat, you got to tip ticket, right? And tip tickets cost money. And Alan Hearns won the best waiter of the night and collected the most tip tickets of the night. And then honorable mention was Andre Branch.
Wow.
But it was a great showing. I mean, Toby Gerhardt, Denard Robinson, Alan Hearns, Aaron Colvin, virtually all of the offensive line, Bowanko, Linder, Luke Jokel, Blake Bortles was, I mean, it's just fantastic. Yeah. I mean, what a great turnout. In fact, you know, I was talking to Gus about it, and he said, you know, they had a little sign-up sheet in the locker room to see if players would like to be interested in participating, and he said that they had to turn players away. They just had too many. And there was a number of players that they had in attendance that were just considered floaters that didn't have an assigned table, and they just went around and mingled with the crowd. And it was a great night for people to spend with Jaguar players and coaches in a very relaxed atmosphere. A lot of fun.
Tony, have you ever waited tables?
Yeah, growing up I did. I was a busboy.
Were you?
Yeah.
What was the restaurant? What we got? Let's
it was
get
called
McDonald's, right?
Well, I worked at McDonald's, too, for my dad. But that's not really a waiter. I did fries, grill, everything. I worked at a place called Nancy's, which is a breakfast lunch place. It's not even open anymore in Boulder, Colorado, and I was a busboy on the weekends, Saturday and Sundays.
How about that? Yeah, so this started after you guys were playing, I guess.
Yeah, they didn't have it when we played.
The first one we had it. I want to say I can't remember if I was the first chairman or Mike Smith was the first chairman. But Mike Smith was the one who really made.
Yeah,
it
was after I left because I never. It wasn't around when we were players.
And Smitty was the defensive coordinator at the time, and he was the one that really organized getting the players and getting coaches there. And I think we did it 1 year prior to that. We really didn't have a coach or a player involved, but we got a lot of support from the players and the coaches. And then when Mike Smith took ownership of it, it absolutely took off. And Smitty did it for many years. And then once Smitty departed and went to Atlanta, then Mark Duffner became the honorary chairman of that. And then he did a fantastic job of carrying on that legacy that Mike Smith created with this event. And then once Smitty departed and you had the new staff come on board, Dave Caldwell, the general manager, stepped up and was the honorary chairman in the first year. And then Gus Bradley is now taking it. And it's great to see because it raised – I mean, it raised
– How much money did they raise?
A lot of money.
Do you have any idea?
I don't know exactly how much it raised, but, I mean, it's a great program because it raises money for the pediatric hospitals here in Jacksonville. The money stays here and it buys equipment. But I can tell you that one item sold for $30,000.
Whoa. Wow.
So it was a significant amount of money raised.
Yeah.
It was outstanding.
Yeah.
And to get this, and we had a lot of fans of the offensive line. Couldn't believe it.
Best right? position group.
They have fans?
We had a couple tables that just loved the offensive line. So I went to Zane Beatles and I said, hey, would you be interested in having a lunch with a lineman thing to auction off? You know, and I originally asked, you know, Linder and Bowanko in a little group, and they said, you got to ask Beatles. Okay, you know, he's the oldest guy, kind of leader of the group right now. And so Zane came over, and I said, what do you think? And I said, how about, you know, lunch for two, you guys pay the tab, and you guys pick the place and get agreed upon schedule. I think that went for like $1,800.
Wow.
It was awesome. Absolutely awesome.
Really cool.
Can you imagine, though, having lunch with a bunch of fat guys? And I can
guarantee they pay the tab?
Yeah.
All right about that.
I guarantee you that they will be eating somewhere where the portions are not small.
And the person who's going to eat with them can eat whatever he wants and still not eat more than the offensive lineman, right?
No, they can try. Try to keep up. It's like a contest.
Yeah, I guess it does.
See if you can keep up.
I'd have done all right.
Don't look over here because I'm on a diet right now.
I can't tell.
But it was great. Alan Hearns was an absolute rock star. I mean, you know, to win the waiter event. I mean, his table, or they were talking to him after the event. You know, the group of the family actually bought the table. And they're like, they said that Alan is now their new adopted son. It was awesome. Alan did a great job.
It's awesome.
Let's get to football. Of course, Gus Bradley spoke after practice today. It was the sixth of 10 OTA practices and the final practice of this week. Gus said that the offense, of all things, is a little bit further ahead than where they thought they'd be right now.
Offensively, we're progressing faster than I thought we would, learning a new offense. You know, I think last year when you have a bunch of new guys, I mean, remember last year in the offensive line, we really didn't know. We were trying to find out who the starters were, and I mean, even into the season. Where this year now we have strong competition, but at least they're playing side by side. And I think because of that, and a lot of guys in their second year and third year, it just seems to be coming faster to them. If you would talk to our coaches, they'd say, without a doubt, we've got some guys that are really sharp intellectually and knowing football. That is not an issue. The number of busts on offense has been minimal, and that's a great sign.
So the core that they've built the last couple of years is developing, and the learning curve is flattened out a little bit, it seems like.
Well, I think it's also
right? –
well, it's that, and you still have new faces, and hats off to Greg Olson and the offensive staff. I mean, that's where that comes from. And it's the players buying in and learning it, but it's good teaching, good coaching, putting in – you know, having a plan of how you're going to install. And that doesn't get talked about a lot, but how you install an offense is critical in how you layer it, how you build upon it, what the foundation is, what your identity is going to be. This is who we are. This is going to be our core plays, and we'll build on that. And I think Greg Olson and the rest of the offensive staff have done an outstanding job of doing that. And they have a lot of good coaches on that side of the ball.
Yeah, and another thing that I would add to that, it really helps when you're installing an offense when the quarterback seems to know it. You know, in years past, how many times, and obviously last year it happened quite often with the young Blake Bortles, where you saw the conversation all the time between Jed Fish and Blake Bortles after a play. You're not seeing that. And it's a positive sign because Blake knows what he's doing. And he's taken the playbook and took it home and studied it, and knows what he's doing. So after the play is over, instead of trying to learn a playbook, he's actually having conversations with his teammates about what exactly his expectations are. And you can see that he appears to be on his game very well and has a very thorough understanding of the offense. There's not a lot of conversation going on after the plays between him and a coach. If it is, it's very detail-oriented instead of just the general parts of the play. And that's the biggest reason, I think, why that offense is where it is. You got a quarterback in his second year who has a better understanding of the game.
That was a big concern, frankly, of mine. I mean, changing the offense, a young player, how would he adapt? And I think, you know, from everything I can tell, they've done a good job of trying to – Greg has done a good job of saying, okay, this is the concept, this is what we want to be, and this is how we're going to do things, but let's try to use as much of the old language as possible.
And, Greg does a great job as far as, you know, he is coaching everything. I mean, it's his offense. You know, whereas I think in years past, and Tony, correct me if I'm wrong, but you saw Jed Fish spend time with the quarterbacks. But he never floated. You know, he was never over here with the offensive line or over here with the wide receivers or over here with the running backs. Greg Olsen is coaching every position. So, in other words, when it's a drill with the quarterbacks and the wide receivers, today was a perfect example. Greg is talking to the wide receivers with Jerry Sullivan about what the expectation is and what, you know, if you see this, you can go ahead and do this. So you can depart from being so robotic. And that's something I think really impresses me with Greg is that he's coaching everything. When you're the offensive coordinator, you got to do that. You got to coach them all.
Everybody's learning the new offense, just not just the quarterback. That makes sense.
We have a lot of veteran coaches, mm-hmm. though, on the staff. I mean, guys who've done it in a lot of different places and have had success doing it, and that helps Greg as well.
Now, the only position group you haven't seen Greg work with much, and that's Doug Marrone, because, I mean, Doug Marrone has been around the block. Right. And but obviously it's a OTA where there's no pads. I'm sure there's conversation going on between Greg and him probably at some other point, but during practice, you know, it's the 7-on-7 group, which is, you know, the running backs, the wide receivers, the tight ends, and the quarterbacks. But you can see Greg working with all of them.
Catch the Jaguars for the last time before the dead period. Thursday, June 18th is the final day of mandatory minicamp at EverBank Field. Practice starts at 11 a.m., ends about 1:20 p.m. You must register for a free ticket. Jaguars.com/veteran minicamp. When we return, the phone line's open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. We'll talk a little offensive line as well. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Prime Sport is the leading global sports travel and event management company, offering corporate and fan travel packages and hospitality events for corporations, professional sports teams, and fans. And for more information, go to primesport.com. The Jaguars offseason is brought to you by Prime Sport. Jaguars Thursday rolls along. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli. And you know what? Earlier today, I need to mention this. The Jaguars coaching staff and football operations office put together a family barbecue day. They do that each OTA every year. Not each day, but one OTA practice a year. It's open to families of players, moms, dads, wives, kids. And then they have a big barbecue. And they had it upstairs today on the second floor in the U.S. Assure West Club. With big inflatables for the kids and DJ music. And
did you get on the inflatables, JP?
No, but I got on the barbecue. I'll tell you
I
that.
Can tell.
That's for sure.
What happened to that diet you said you're on?
I am on a diet.
What kind of diet is that exactly, JP?
It's a
hope you get your money
seafood.
Back.
Diet is a relative seafood, term.
No, yeah. Oh, I agree.
Yes, it is.
See, JP's in denial. I fully admit that I'm a mess when it comes to food.
The whole point.
You, however, are denying the fact that you are
you
portly.
Come in with – I'm not portly. First
you
of all.
Are portly.
You come in with insults when I'm trying to say there's a nice family atmosphere on the football
side of the
Jaguars.
Jeff, wouldn't
you
say he's a little portly? I mean, portly would be a good adjective.
I would say that he's very jovial.
Jovial.
Yeah.
Jovial.
Kind of yes. Like Santa Claus.
Santa Claus-esque.
Yeah. This is unbelievable. Really?
You're the one who brought up
so
the diet.
Barbecue was really good.
Really? Yes. It was fantastic. And but the
seconds?
Depends on your definition. It's all relative, right?
Yeah, it's all relative.
That's what I'm saying.
It's kind of like your size.
Yeah, that's right.
No, it's good. It's good. It's good to do stuff like that.
And they do that a lot. You know, there's families are welcome. This is a random story too. The other week I'm at lunch, shocking, and of all people,
do you do anything but eat?
No.
Okay.
I talk to you on Thursdays. That's exciting too. I'll tell you. So I'm up there at lunch and. Jared Odrick's dad is in town.
Yeah, Greg.
And, yeah.
Met him Tuesday night. He was at the event with Jared Odrick.
It was great.
Well. Yeah, he's a great guy.
But they're always welcome in the building anytime they're here. It's
he's
great.
A principal at a high school in California.
Is he big? Like
he's
here?
A big man.
I would not want to go down to the principal's office.
I can't imagine him being in high school and having Jared's dad be the principal. I mean, like, you know, when you get called down to the principal's
office. Go see Mr. Odrick. No thanks.
Woo, buddy.
I was at the soup, and I heard this voice. Are you the media guy? I'm like, who's asking? I wonder. I turn around. I'm, oh, yeah, that's me. I guess he watched the videos on the site and all the things. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. But, no, family's always welcome, and today was another
great
example of that.
We
left off talking about offensive line and how Greg Olsen has not really dealt much in the offensive line, at least on the field.
Yeah, I mean, not that I've seen, but I'm sure it happens.
I'm sure it has, but Doug Marrone kind of has that going, of course. It's a lot of new faces there. Wisniewski's off to the side right now.
Rehabbing a shoulder.
Yes, and Parnell's there at right tackle. And, I mean, there's a lot of just newness going on in that room. What do you think so far, Tony, and where does that stand right now overall?
Well, I think, you know, it goes back to what Gus said in the sound of the last segment. There's a lot of competition. Where last year there was competition, but it was almost by default. It's like, okay, who are we going to get to play?
After like one day of pads, you're like, okay, he's going to be the left guard. Yeah. He's going to be the right guard.
And now it's like, listen, I was talking to somebody on the sidelines today, and there's going to be a couple good players cut. I mean, there's good football players out there. And it's a much improved group. And I've said on the show before, I think the addition of Doug Marrone was outstanding by Gus Bradley. He is a detail-oriented teacher of the offensive line position, which is critical. You still have Luke Buckus there, who I think is a very good offensive line coach as well. It's a group that is going to be much better. You look at just one offseason, and it's only half of offseason, you can see the body type of guys like Luke Jokel and Buenco. Luke Buenco changing and have changed. They're bigger. The addition of Parnell, you know, now, we haven't seen him in pads. I mean, we saw him on film last year.
He looks like he's wearing pads.
But for a right tackle.
He's a big man.
Jeff, he has all that. Great feet for a right tackle.
He does.
A lot of times that's a position that you sometimes have to forfeit a little bit of that because of you want size and power.
You want a mauler.
A mauler. And he is a guy that he can maul you. But I watch his feet and what he's doing, and that's what you – really all you can tell with no pads on from that group is you watch your feet and their knee bend and, you know, balance and stuff like that, and he has all of it.
He's a former basketball player, too, at Ole Miss.
Yeah, you can tell.
And play defensive line.
Pretty good. I'm sure he's pretty good in the paint.
He's he's not a young guy, but he's got low miles. And
how old is he?
He's 26.
That's not old. Sounds young to me.
Yeah, it sounds
26,
right.
27, something like that. You know,
have you checked your birth date?
Me?
Yeah, he's pretty young.
Yeah, he's way younger than I am. But, I mean, as far as an NFL player goes, I mean, he might be 27. But anyway.
But at that position, you stay healthy, that's another 7-8 years.
But here's the thing with him is that, you know, he's relatively raw. I mean, basketball, but then defensive line, he's relatively new to the offensive line. He's got low miles. So, I mean, your expectation is this is a guy that can play for many more years to come.
That's exactly right. So, well, I like it. Linder looks good. He's big.
Linder's always looking.
I think it's. I'm interested to see what Can does when he gets the pads on. He looks like a powerful human being, low center of gravity. I think you're going to have a great competition at center between Buenco and Wisniewski. And I talked to so many people, and a lot of people, when Wisniewski gets back, he'll be the center. I'm like, guys,
I think I asked you that today.
That's right. Yeah. That was you. And I'm like, JP, I'm telling you right now, Luke Buenco is not going to give up that position. Mm-mm. And I think Luke Buenco is going to be. I thought it was. I remember seeing him come in during the first OTA days and watched him, and I think it was maybe Jeff. I told Jeff, I said, Jeff, he can play center because he has great athletic and he bends his knees, his hip. I mean, and now he's bigger. He has a nasty side to him. I'm not – nothing against Wisniewski. I'm not saying he can't win that job. But it's not – I mean, it's going to be a battle. And you're going to get a good player at that center position.
What's kind of fun to watch is that typically when you have – because Buenco's not a short guy. I mean, a lot of the centers
taller.
Are a little bit shorter.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a tall center.
6'6".
But when you watch a center that's a 6'5", 6'6", guy get down and get ready to snap, they look like they're uncomfortable in the position.
He doesn't.
He doesn't because he's got great knee bend and strength for with the bent knee position. I think that's going to be an interesting battle, and I'm with Tony. I don't see that as being anybody's job, and that's to be determined. I think it's going to be a great competition with – Zane Beatles and Can, the third-round draft pick from South Carolina.
Can Beatles been around? Can's a rookie.
That's a tall. You know, I think Zane Beatles is going to have a good year. You know, after having a disappointing first year, I hope he rises to the occasion and can have a good year. He needs to be the starter. You know, it's one of those things where he's got to make the team as the hands-down best guard, you know, on that left side to get – I mean, he's not a cheap guy. No, you know, so you need to be the starter if you're going to be on this roster. And then once you get past that, some of the backup spots, you know, Josh Wells looks like he's gotten better physically. Austin Pasdor doesn't look like he's got any ill effects from a torn hamstring last year.
And actually, Gus called him out during a press conference. Not called him out, that's the wrong terminology, but pointed him out, mentioned him as really catching their eye.
Well, we forgot yeah. that, you know, he tore a hamstring, which is a significant injury, and now he's switching positions. He's playing a little bit of guard, but he still has the ability to play, you know, tackle. So, I mean, he's a guy that's got, you know, flexibility. Tyler Shatley, the guy that I think that they kind of had to make, you know, make the roster last year to last second because somebody else was going to snag him up, has got some flexibility at playing center and guard. I mean, there's some locks on this team, but, you know, on the offensive line. But I don't think that you can sit there and say, okay, this is going to be your eight guys or nine guys that are going to make it. I mean, this is going to come down to preseason games and the evaluation and training camp.
I think there's three starter positions right now that are pretty much, I think we all would agree on. Okay. I think the other two are competition.
Yeah, and the three you're talking about?
Left tackle, Jokel, right guard, right tackle.
Parnell and Linder. Everybody else, have at it. That's a good thing.
That's a really good thing.
It's a really good thing.
That doesn't happen.
You know, and when we say that those three are locked down, it's their job to lose. You know, we're not saying that those are guaranteed spots. You know, you would assume that they're pretty much guaranteed. But, I mean, if those guys falter, there's some other guys that are in competition at other spots that could slide over to their spots if they, you know, don't keep the pace that we, you know that they have. So it's going to be fun to watch.
Jeremy Parnell, by the way, born June 20th, 1986.
So what does that make him?
I'm bad at math.
29?
About to be 28, right?
Yeah, 28, 29?
29, yeah.
It's good. But he's got low mileage. I mean, he's a young man, and he's a big man. He's an offensive tackle that when you look at him, very low body fat, you know, a lot of muscle mass, and you know, with the offensive linemen, you know, you kind of see a little softness, you know, because they're trying to carry the weight that they need to carry to be, you know, that 315, 310, 20 pounds, whatever they are required to weigh. He's a guy that carries his weight around like no big deal. Like he was just, you know, like he's a 185-pound man, just, you know, just blow him up. I mean, he's fit. Great shape.
We had this question come up on Jaguars.com Live the other day on Wednesday, yesterday. One of the Miami papers the other day went through other teams to see which player would be tradable and fit in down there or immediately.
In Miami?
I believe in Miami or other places. What's the most tradable player on each team? And they looked at the Jaguars and said Zane Beadles, especially for a team like Denver, could go back to Denver. If you had an opportunity to trade Zane Beadles, would you?
What am I getting?
I don't know. Great question.
I don't think you're going to get much.
Or is it good to reason, have I'm
not,
that
I'm not, I'm not saying that because of, it has anything to do with Zane Beadles' performance. What I'm talking about is his cap number. You know, it's hard to get a high pick for a guy who has a higher cap number.
And I wouldn't trade him anyways. And the reason I wouldn't trade him is because you have no cap issues here. And so why get rid of him? He adds the very thing you want. And
let
that's competition at that position. And I'll say this, even if, let's say, Can or Buenco, because Wisniewski ends up playing center, or someone else beats him out, I still wouldn't get rid of him. Why? It goes back to the thing. So you're paying more than you would typically want to. You have no cap issues, and you know he's a guy who can start in this league. Right. And I'm not saying he's not going to win the job. He might very well win the job, and I'm with Jeff. He probably should win the job. I mean, that's what you brought him in to do. But I wouldn't trade him because you don't need to. And you're not going to get anything that's going to make a difference on this roster.
Interesting to think about, though, if from an outside perspective. But it's a problem. Not a problem, but it's an issue the Jags haven't had a lot around here. this many good players.
Haven't had it all. What are you talking about?
This many good players.
Haven't had it all.
Yeah. Well, we've had it in the past, just not
recently.
Yeah, but
I'm not under this regime. No.
No. Republic Services.
The last two regimes.
Yeah. True.
Three regimes.
Two and a half.
Two-ish, three. Yeah. Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida, the official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. Your calls when we come back. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Get more in 2015. Become a Jags season ticket member and get access to amazing benefits 365 days a year. Receive a stadium experience voted number one by the fans in the league. Great seating options available for any budget. Visit jaguars.com/tickets. Or call and speak to an account manager at 633-2000. One time only, if you buy today, you get lunch with Tony Boselli. I just offered it up. There you go.
I already got tickets, so I'll take myself to lunch.
Okay. Well, good for you. That's not really part of the
deal. Yeah, I was going to say, don't say that, JP, because now they're going to get phone calls, and what you just did is going to cause a lot of problems. Because now Chad Johnson's going to call me and says, JP said you go to lunch with the 1,000 people that just called, and we're going to have a problem.
I don't think that's a problem if 1,000 people call, right?
No, but if
that's
I have to
good
go to
news,
a
right?
thousand lunches.
One big lunch.
For everybody.
Everybody.
And you're paying.
Great. Awesome.
They're going to payroll you, JP.
Payroll deduct. Yeah. Okay. We'll get to some calls here in just a moment. We mentioned at the top of the show we were going to talk linebackers, though. There's
thin group.
Yeah. Are they that thin, though? Or are they better than they look
at
the
have
second
any,
level?
It doesn't have any headliners, and I think that's what a lot of people are looking at. But
I love the first three.
The first three, I think, are pretty much in place, where you got Dan Skuda, Telvin Smith, and Paul Posluszny. Now, when you get behind them,
Leroy Reynolds is a good player.
Leroy
Reynolds player.
Is a very solid player and a good special teams player. But here's the thing. You remember last year when Jeremiah George played in that game? It was at Cincinnati, and he flashed. But he got a high ankle in that game. He's a former fifth-round pick for the New York Jets out of Iowa State, and the Jaguars were lucky to get him because it wasn't a good scheme fit in New York under Rex Ryan's defense. He is exciting. That's the one guy that I can't wait to watch when the pads go on because, you know, now that you're in no pads, you're kind of like, you know, you don't really – linebackers, it's hard for them to stand out. But when the pads come on, Jeremiah George is a striker, and he's a good football player. He's the one I'm most forward looking to
watch.
But,
Jeff, you'd agree it's overall probably the thinnest group on the team.
That's what I'm saying. But as far as, you know, headliners. Because, I mean, as far
of
as
– guys of what you know
– if you they've done stuff
yeah,
before,
you're not sure what you're going to get.
But, you know, the other guy, too, is Kari Fort. Remember?
Yeah. No, I'm not saying they don't have potential.
No.
But I'm saying – but not a lot of depth of guys who've done it consistently.
No, what I'm saying is I want people to understand that there's a couple names there to kind of keep an eye on. You know, Jeremiah George is my big one after you get past, you know, the three starters and then Leroy Reynolds. The other one that I want to watch, and I don't have an opinion on him one way or the other, but he's a former fourth-round pick of the New Orleans Saints last year who didn't make the team. I don't know why he didn't make the team, but Kerry Fort's a former fourth-round pick who's on this football team now. And
athletic.
And what didn't join the team until – it was.
Was
it,
he was the Cincinnati practice squad. He was the one that
the guy who flew over. Flew over to London.
They picked him up because of the injury to Jeremiah George. So he actually got on the plane or soon after followed the team over to London.
Well, here's the story.
They had to make sure he had a passport.
He didn't have his passport. It was back home in Connecticut. So they flew him to Connecticut to pick it up and flew him commercial over.
That's right.
The team. Yeah.
So I mean, those two guys are guys to kind of keep an eye on because I mean, these are you're talking a fourth and a fifth round pick, and I mean that's nothing to shake a stick at. You know, and these are
but
picks
you need
from,
you need six or seven of them.
Absolutely,
that's only five we've talked about.
That's six if you count Leroy Reynolds, the three starters, and
oh,
those two
right.
guys.
Okay.
Yeah, that's six guys. You know, so you know now the rest of them are you know undrafted rookies that are you know hoping to make the football team. But I mean, yeah, as far as you know headliners, yeah, that group probably lacks a little bit. But you know, I can't wait to see Jeremiah George. Now remember that name.
I do like the first three guys, though. I mean, I think. And I said it when it happened, and I'll stand by it until I hope I'm not proven wrong. I think Dan Scuda is going to turn out to be one of the best. I'm not going to say the best signing because I really like Parnell and obviously the tight end
Julius
Thomas. But I think Dan Scuda is going to be a really – we'll look back and say this was a guy who brought a lot of not just what he could do on the field as far as making plays, but attitude and toughness and love of football. I mean, I think he's a – I love the signing, and I think he's going to have a good year.
He's one of those guys that he's never going to be double-digit sacks and be a Pro Bowl guy, but he's one of those guys that you get in free agency who can play his whole contract out. He's going to be dependable.
Make plays, tackles.
I mean, he's going to contribute on special teams. You know, he's one of those guys that you want to have on your football team. You can't have enough of those guys.
Nope.
Telvin Smith, one of those top three starters in the linebacking crew, and John from the Beaches wants to chime in tonight. What's up, John?
Thanks, fellas. Yeah, just a quick observation. I happened to catch a little bit of his interview today, this afternoon, and there's been a lot of talk about him and his weight and his athleticism and all this, but I tell you, what an engaging guy. And I've heard a few interviews from players, and, you know, they're all good, but what a fun guy, what a great attitude. And I'm sure he's a lot of fun in the locker room, but, you know, he just had a lot of great things to say about his teammates and about learning. And you know, I hope he pans out and becomes a great player for us. But I just thought it was refreshing just listening to his perspective. And he's just an uplifting guy, and just I'll take it off the air. But that kind of attitude, I think, is fabulous for the fans and for the other players. And thanks so much.
I think Telvin Smith right now is a good player. I thought he had an outstanding rookie year where you drafted him. I think he overcame any questions. Is he big enough to play the linebacker position? Because he has great hand use and instincts. And he just finds ways. And Jeff and I would watch tape or watch the game, and he would just slither in there and make plays and get off blocks and played bigger than his actual weight. He's never going to be a thumper type of guy, and he doesn't need to be. He plays that will linebacker. He's great on third down. And coverage because of the way he can run. He's a good player right now. I think he has the potential, if he'll continue to grow and improve and have the same attitude the caller talked about, the energy brings, I think he has a chance to be a really, really good player. I'm not going to say great at this point, but he could be a really, really good player who you look back, you know, a number of years from now and say, man, how do we get that guy in the fifth round? Because
he's got speed.
He can play football.
Unbelievable.
The energy he brings to the field is noticeable, too, if you're out of practice.
He has a great personality. I mean, he's one of those guys that, you know, when you talk to him, you just walk away from the conversation smiling.
He's an engaging guy.
He's just fantastic. You know, so, I mean,
so he's good right now. I hope he takes the next step. I hope he improves on what he did. He could be a really good player.
Chris on the west side wants to talk about your friend, Pete Prisco. Chris,
oh,
what's
wait.
Up?
No, boy.
How are you?
Hey, guys. I sure would like to know when Jaguars Monday is starting up because I would love to rip into Pete Prisco right now over his top 100 article that he released.
I'm sure he's listening.
Just tell what is your biggest beef with Pete in the top 100, which I have not read, by the way, but what is it?
J.J. Watt is number one, and it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Who would you put better than J.J. Watt?
I would probably put about 15 quarterbacks ahead of J.J. Watt.
Okay, this is where you're wrong. So this was not an article saying who are the most valuable players to their team. This was an article saying who are the top 100 football players. And I'll just say this, because I remember they do it every year, offensive linemen. I remember one year, Larry Allen was in the top five. No one would say that Larry Allen was the most valuable player even on his own Cowboy team. You're talking about the best football players. And I think you can make a very strong argument that J.J. Watt is the best football player when you take what he does at his position and how he can dominate and take over a game and everything else. I don't think J.J. Watt's the most valuable player by any – I would name about three or four guys off the top of my head without even thinking before I name J.J. Watt. But as far as the best football players, that's an argument that I think is – Pete has a good argument there because he is outstanding.
Yeah, all right, frame it that way.
I agree with the caller, and that quarterback is definitely way more important.
But not best player. This is best 100 football player.
Yeah, but I'm not going to sit here and argue with J.J. Watt being a number one. No. I mean, if it were me, I'd have a quarterback at number one.
He's got Rodgers, too, by the way.
No, but Jeff, would you have – I'm not talking what's valuable to their team. I'm talking about best – so you take what they are at their position, and you say the best football player – in the NFL.
Yeah, there's nobody even close to J.J. Watt.
Okay, that's my point.
Whereas you take a quarterback?
No.
There's a lot of quarter. There's not a lot, but there's a few quarterbacks that are right in there.
More valuable.
You know, are all kind of close to each other as far as level of play, but nobody plays
I
like
remember
JJ.
One year, I think, when I was playing, there was three offensive linemen in the top 10 one year. Now, none of us were the most valuable player.
It's the golden era of tackles in the league.
No, but
though.
My point Come is, on, it's man. Not about – who's the most valuable. This is an article about who are the best football players in this league. J.J. Watt, arguably, if you look what he's done the last 2 years, and listen, I argued with Jeff the first 2 years of his career, and I was wrong. J.J. Watt, if you look at the pure numbers, the impact he has on the game, what he does, I don't know who is better as a football player. I would take – now, if I was starting a team, I'm taking Aaron Rodgers. I'm taking Tom Brady.
Quarterback first.
I'm taking a quarterback first. That's not what this article is about.
So, hold on. Can you rewind that? Did you say you were wrong, Tony?
I always thought J.J. Watt – here was the argument Jeff and I used to have. I thought J.J. Watt was a very good, if not great, player. Jeff's argument early in his career that he will go down historically as one of the best defensive linemen ever. And that's what I argued with Jeff. I said, well, wait a second. I'm not sure about that. Right now, if you look at what Jeff –
his argument was he's a really good player, and I said, look, he's not really good. He's great.
And I was wrong because he is great. He is a great –
Now, I'm going to disagree with Pete Prisco's number four.
Who is that?
Ndamukong Suh.
I would, too.
I wouldn't put him at four.
I would not either.
No. I think Ndamukong Suh is a really good football player.
I think he disappears at times, and I think you can block him.
Totally agree with you.
Here's what – I'll say when I played, I could tell you who the – great players were and the guys who were the best because they were a pain in the butt to block. If you weren't a pain in the block to block all the time, in my book, you could be really good, but that doesn't make you great. And there's guys that the average fan probably wouldn't know that were great players. Now, they're not Hall of Famers because maybe they didn't do it long enough or for whatever reason, but they were great players. And that's what this list is all about. It's subjective. I mean, it's fun to talk about. It's a filler for the offseason.
By the way, Julius Thomas, number 67 on that list, and Sendarik Marks, number 72 on Prisco's list. Let's go to Ryan in Mandarin to talk about the left tackle, Luke Jokel. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, guys. Tony and Jeff and JP, good evening to you.
What's up?
Good evening.
Listen, I'm growing up watching you guys. You know, I fell in love with the Jags as soon as we got the team. And I've actually met both of you guys individually on separate occasions, and I've grown up really respecting your analysis of our team. My question is, Tony, I don't know if you even remember me, but when Barkin Trail first came into existence, you came to the first inaugural game and I was wearing your number.
Okay, yeah, sure, absolutely.
You told me not to disrespect the number.
Yep, I do. I do vaguely remember that.
But my question is, with Luke Jokel, I hear you every week saying you've got him pegged as, you know, he's going to do good. He's going to do fine. I only learned the high school level, and I never got to watch, you know, learn the college level and the pro level as far as what to look for. What could you say that you've seen in Luke Jokel, other than the things that are unteachable, you know, that he possesses? But what could you say that I could hone in on this year and look at and say, man, he has progressed?
Great. So here's the biggest thing I'd watch for Luke Jokel to see progression and where areas I think I want to see progress in. When you watch him pass block, especially in space, look at his body position and make sure he's not reaching for guys. Luke Jokel gets in trouble when he reaches, meaning his head goes down, his shoulders get over his hips, and he gets off balance, and that's where he gets in trouble. When Luke Jokel's in balance and his body position is good, his shoulders over his hips underneath him, he is a good offensive tackle, and he can block most anybody. When he gets in trouble, he leans. So if you see him leaning, That means he's going to be in trouble, and he hasn't worked on that part of his game. I know he's working on it. I don't think it's going to be an issue. And I watched Doug Marrone coach all those guys, and he addresses those types
he's
of issues.
Working on that specifically.
That's right.
A lot of it.
Yep.
We'll come back in a moment. Look around the National Football League. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Final segment of Jaguars Thursday. JP Shadrick, Tony Vaselli, Jeff Loggeman. We were talking about Telvin Smith earlier.
Well, actually, we were talking about the top 100.
Yes, but I had a note about Telvin Smith today. He was at the baseball grounds of Jacksonville, rounds at the grounds for the Northeast Florida Healthy Start Coalition. He's the honorary chairperson for that event today throughout the ceremonial first pitch for the softball game.
He was on a TV show, too, wasn't he?
He was on one of the TV or the chat
local
or something
TV show, The
today?
View or The Chat. Or
yes.
The Chat, that's my wife's show. I wonder if my
– Is she on there today?
She's on there once a week, so not every – not. It's a five-day-a-week show, I think.
Yeah.
And she does one show a week, so okay. I don't know if it's the same one.
There you go. I think it was that show, and to promote the event this afternoon.
Good for him. Can I change the gears real quick? Tell me when you're done with that.
Trying to improve infant mortality rates in Jacksonville and the awareness around that.
It's a great it's amazing and it's great what guys do, and a number of the Jaguar players get involved in promoting great causes like that.
Now I'm done. Go ahead.
Okay. Hey, Jeff and I were talking in the break, and we were talking about this top 100. And and no one else probably cares about this but me. The top offensive lineman was, 19?
13 or 15, Marshall Yonda.
Marshall Yonda, a guard, which
at
I agree
16.
With. I agree with. He is a fabulous player. I mean, absolutely versatile, played right tackle last year. I mean, really, really good. And we are talking about offensive tackles because typically the offensive tackle is the premier position in the league, and they're rated higher than the guards. And the conversation, I mean, who is the elite offensive tackle in the NFL
now? The two that Pete has on his list, the first tackle is Jason Peters at 28, who's a really good football
player. Very good player.
Really good football player. And then Joe Thomas at 32.
And my point, and I don't think Jason Peters had as good a year last year as he has in the past. I mean, when he was healthy in his prime, he was a very, really dang good player. But it just goes back, Jeff, take a guy like – we talk about Joe Thomas as, maybe the elite guy. And he's good, really good. But I wouldn't call him elite.
He's not one of the best to ever play the position.
Not even close.
Today's game, he's pretty darn good.
You go back to Tony's era. You had Tony and you had Ogden and Walter Jones.
So talk about – and so that was my whole point.
Players.
So take
– Willie Rofe.
Because I'm not going to talk about me. Talk about Jonathan Ogden, Hall of Fame player. And – Jeff, you played against him.
He was the one guy that I remember going against, and I would line up, and typically you'd have a plan.
You have no.
I had absolutely no clue what I was going to do.
And I watched all these guys,
right?
And there'd be games upon games upon games where Jonathan Ogden, Walter Jones, they wouldn't forget about giving up a sack.
He just
wouldn't even give up a pressure.
Negate the guy he was going against. He's out of the game. And it didn't matter how good they were.
And it's just so interesting how the standard – I'll even talk about I remember I'd go into a game. My goal was not to give up a sack. It was like I'm not going to give up a pressure. And it's just so interesting how the game has changed and evolved. And I don't know if anyone else is interested. We talk about it all the time. I talk about it with Pete Prisco quite a bit. Mm-hmm. It's just funny to me that the best offensive lineman – rated by Pete Prisco, and I think a lot of people agree, is an offensive guard.
He's a guard.
Now, the guy that our era, Jeff, would be as a guard would have been Larry Allen, and he was a top 10 player. But he as well, I think we'd all agree, is a more elite player than Yonda.
Yeah.
And so it's just funny how positions change throughout the year where you have – loaded talent at different positions.
Larry Allen used to bench press 500 pounds.
For reps.
Yeah.
not once. Like reps. He was an amazing player.
It's time for a 360-degree look around the National Football League presented by 360 Access. Don't mess around when it comes to game time. The 360 Access team of experts is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to make sure you have the best experience for the biggest games of the year. Visit 360access.com to learn more. John Bolin, son of Broncos owner Pat Bolin, arrested for domestic violence charges. Here's the question now.
Is it against his wife or
girlfriend? Allegedly pushed a girlfriend against a bathroom wall during a 911 call. It hung up the phone. The cops came, this and that. He's one of seven Bolin kids. Is he now out of line to take over
the
team?
The other six are going to have a better chance of being the owners of the team.
Well, and then the son, John, that was arrested, was the one that supposedly had the best chance to be the heir apparent.
That's right.
Dad, Pat.
Not anymore. Not in today's NFL.
And he's been placed on an indefinite leave of absence.
I'll be surprised if this goes. Now, there's a lot of things that still have to happen. Are charges, you know, is he charged?
Right.
Does it go to, I mean, who knows what happens? Is his girlfriend or the lady who was involved, which I guess would be the victim, does she press charge? I mean, there's so many things that have to go. But if it plays out where he is found guilty, I don't think he's going to be an owner anytime soon.
Cam Newton signed a $103 million extension over 5 years, $60 million guaranteed. Is he worth that?
In today's NFL, yeah. There's not 32 franchise quarterbacks. And so if you have one that you think is that or close to that, then that's the going market. That's what you have to pay him.
Yeah,
because guess what? If you don't, another team would have paid him that.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it's –
That's the market, and he has some leverage, and that's the way it is.
And he's won playoff games. He's won conference titles. I'm not saying he's elite, but that's money for a guy that you deem as your franchise quarterback, and Carolina has done that, and I would do the same thing if I was Carolina.
Well done, guys. For Tony Boselli, Jeff Loggeman, Joe Fortunato, this is J.P. Shadrick. Jaguars back on the field Monday for the final week of OTAs. That's it for Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.